started. And I'm going to call to order the April 13th, 2021 virtual town select board meeting, Town of Heath, and the meeting is being recorded. First item on the agenda is identification of caller. Myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I am here. We have Gloria.
I'm here.
Ryan.
Here.
We have Helma.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Bob Gruen.
Here and not recording.
We have Sue Lively. Got a wave here. We have Pat again.
Here and recording.
Thanks, Pat. I think we have Pam with us.
Yep, I'm here.
And that might be it. Am I missing anybody? I think that's everyone. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Next item, review of agenda. Gloria, any items for the agenda?
I have nothing else.
Brian?
I have nothing.
I have the amendment to the IGA with Westfield Gas and Electric that we need to briefly take a look at and see if we have any questions. And Helma, anything else?
No, I think I'm all set.
Very good. Thank you. Next item is public comment. Is there anyone that is here with us now that would like to say anything during public comment? I didn't have a list of anyone, so I'm just throwing it out there.
Robin, this is Pam.
Go ahead, when Pam.
When you get to the point where you're talking about the Building Use Committee, can you include in your deliberations permission for the committee to enter Community Hall? We had permission before when we were the School Building Use Committee to enter the school, but we have never gotten official permission that I'm aware of to enter the Community Hall now that we're a new committee.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Thanks.
Anything else for anybody for public comment? If not, we will, Doug is joining us, so I'm just going to give him a second to get in. We're doing public comment right now. Doug, did you have anything you'd like to add or share with us? Are you good? All set? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. All right, then. Great. Thank you all. Next is the review of the minutes. So we are looking at a review of minutes for April 6, 2021. I see it says the 13th, but it's April 6, 2021. Gloria.
I have a couple things. Some of you will be so happy to hear. There's very, very few things. Building Facilities Committee, that paragraph. Second sentence, it was explained that each of the town buildings has been visited. Article 3, right in the middle where it says, Gloria mentioned that if the building was going to be fully marketable, just had an ET in there.
Yep.
Second page under COVID concerns, second paragraph. I was just a little bit confused about where it said discussion, decision regarding allowing boards and committees to hold face-to-face meetings with appropriate distancing, either in a large space or outside. I'm not sure that can we tell people they can't meet outside? I was just wondering if we should take the words or outside off there.
Yes, you would have that for any board or committee that you appointed.
Would they have to ask permission to hold a meeting outside? Because I thought in the fall, lots of people were holding them outside.
Right. I don't know that we ever formally told people they could not meet outside.
Yeah, I don't remember that doing that either. So I was just thinking if we want to take the word or outside off there, I don't know.
Okay. Well, it was mentioned, I think it was mentioned kind of in passing during that discussion.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to take it out, that's fine. Whatever you would like.
The weather and the darkness ended the outdoor meetings.
It did.
Right, so I think we should just take the words or outside off there because I don't think the select board can tell people whether they can or cannot meet outside.
Okay.
And the last thing is, let's see, the paragraph, Franklin County Tech School HEAT Student Assessment.
Uh-huh.
Franklin County Technical School.
Okay.
And that's all I had.
Awesome.
Thanks, Gloria. Brian?
I don't have anything for other than what Gloria mentioned.
All right, then. I'm looking for a motion, please, to accept.
I move we approve the minutes of April 6th, 2021, as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
I'll abstain as I was not here, but thank you. All right, we do have an appointment. Let's see, it's 6:15. We have some extra time. I'll hop down to building maintenance, if that's okay. I'll give the updates that I have. So the easy one is the Sawyer Hall door hardware. I had sent that in, and it got missed going out to Brian and Gloria, the actual quote from Smith & Associates, which is John Lively. But I sent that to you earlier this evening. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but it's $2,600. The quote is in your email.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that seemed like a fairly decent price.
Yep. Brian, did you have a chance to look at that?
I didn't see it, but I know that price isn't bad. That's for both, right? Is that for both?
Both doors at Sawyer Hall and the center after removable astragal.
Yeah, no, that seems good. I know that the Panic hardware is anywhere from $700 to $1,500 a leaf, depending on what you choose.
So if we're good with that and we want him to move forward, I could have a motion on that.
I move we accept the bid from John Lively, but I can't remember what the name of the company is, for Sawyer Hall doors for $2,600.
I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Rob and I. And Community Hall, I didn't get an answer back from John if he reached out and spoke, got in contact on that. So I've got to follow up with him on that. The police office door, is actually becoming delaminated. And I've talked with Tim and Helma, the three of us, and Chief John. It is a fire door. That's a rated door, which I did not know until, because I haven't been able to look at it when it's open. You have to look at, see all that when it's open, plus the delamination. So we talked a little bit about possibly trying to glue and clamp it, at least for the interim. I think we're going to have to replace it. But prior to actually go ahead and buying that, I'm going to see if I have the measurements from today, Tim or somebody gets them for me. I'm going to see if I have a door upstairs at my shop just to donate. We have tons of doors up there. So I'm going to check the measurements tomorrow before we move forward with any type of temporary repair or replacement. And I'm assuming, does that have to go back as a fire-rated door? I don't know why. I assume all of those are rated doors, are they, Brian?
they have a label on that says 1 hour, you know, which I'm not sure exactly why that was necessary, because most doors in a 1 hour, 1 hour enclosure are 3/4 hour doors. But if you have a 1 hour door, that would be great. I know they make them.
Yeah.
But there's only certain places. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to check and see. All the doors upstairs are used, but they're in good shape and they're from all sorts of locations. So mostly commercial doors. So most of them are rated. So I'm going to check that first and see if we can just switch it out. I think it's so delaminated that gluing it and clamping it, it'll work for a little while. But I mean, the rating's gone on it because it's delaminated. But yeah, we'll have to. I think John can lock it now, so I think it's okay, but we need to get on it.
Okay. I think a 45-minute door would work if you don't have any others.
Okay.
That's generally what's required in a 1 hour enclosure.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll check that tomorrow, and then I'll send out a note and just let people know where we're at. If not, I'll get a quote on replacing it. And then it's nothing to switch that one out. Probably Tim can do that himself. And then, so I did those first because those were the semi-decent ones to talk about. The truss situation is just getting worse and worse and worse. So I've been to 3 truss companies now, and nobody will come out with their engineer and take responsibility for looking at those trusses unless we have the original truss design. And I don't know the answer to that because that was before me being here.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah. So
I do have a design for a truss to replace them, so I can send that. That was done by.
They basically all said that nobody wants to take their responsibility and liability for it unless we have the original truss design to show the loading on it.
Okay. It's under designed for current code anyway. I don't know how to get around that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the issue is just going to be much bigger than a repair. I think you said, just remind me, did you get an engineer out here or you couldn't get an engineer out here?
I've been communicating online with a structural engineer and a truss engineer. And I have a design for replacement truss. But it's not a two-piece, and that's how it would have to be fabricated to get it in there. So if they use that design and design it as a two-piece truss, it should work.
All right. Can you send that to me?
I will.
Okay. Who did that? Who designed that?
It was Truss Engineering Company.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, can you send that to me?
I will.
All right. So I'll keep pecking away at that. I think the bigger issue is we're going to have to really talk about the replacement, which I know is part of the big conversation about coming up, just in general about the buildings and the repairs that are required and when do we have to put an article out for rebuild of that building, replacement. Okay.
I wish to try to get it on this warrant if we can, on this ATM warrant.
We may have to, yep.
Do we have any idea how much money we're talking about?
We sort of do. I mean, it's a wild guess, but I would say it's somewhere under $300,000.
Holy mackerel, that's a lot of money.
Well,
Budget, it's a lot of money. It may not be a lot of money for a salt shed, but on its own, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, materials costs are going up too. I don't know.
I know 180% is what I read.
Yeah, with bad timing. Bad timing right now. Okay, so it is 6:16, and Cal, are you here with us now?
I'm here.
Hi, Cal.
Hi, how are you, Robin? Hi, Gloria. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Cal.
Hi. You want me to proceed, Robin?
Yeah, it's your time. It's my time.
So thank you. There's a couple of things going on. We have the Wide Valley poll on Schoolhouse Road, but that's basically been passed back to you, and I guess the conflict of interest is still out there. The other issue that's come up, and you can see in my email, the monopole that AT&T wants to put up on Zero Row or 43 Zor Road. So as a result of that, special permit application is online, and we're having a public hearing on April 29th. I foresee probably having more than one public hearing because it's such a complicated, and there's a lot of information coming out. As you can see in our bylaws, we have the option to hire a consultant, and I've been in touch with David Maxim of Isotrope. The only thing standing in the way of David coming on board is we have to open a 53G account, which is Chapter 40, 53G, because AT&T will pay him. He's our consultant, but they'll pay him, and obviously you need a barrier between those two entities, so it's a bank account that AT&T pays into, and then either we pay David as the planning board, or he draws from that. Hilm and I have discussed this a couple of times, and David Fierro and I have been calling each other back and forth because I believe it is something that the treasurer will set up. The discussion in the third paragraph deals, I spoke with Alan Rice and David Culp regarding the, I guess for a better word, the poaching of our broadband customers. Now, Alan Rice and David Culp, who's the MLP manager in Ashfield, they weren't concerned about that. And David, who was Maxim, who's aware of the Ashfield project, wasn't concerned either. But the caveat here is that the pole that was erected in Ashfield is only 110 feet tall. The one that AT&T wants to erect here is 180 feet tall. And if you look at the last sentence of that paragraph, one concern is that wireless entities like Y Valley or other people could attach to this pole and take customers away. And I spoke with someone who works in the field, of telecommunications. He's aware of this. He's seen this happen before. He's seen these big companies come in and put up these monopoles, and it does take away from, it has the capacity to take away from the broadband customers. And because it's not just the monopole itself is one thing, but in the first two meetings we've had with AT&T, this is a co-locator pole, which means once that pole is up 180 feet, T-Mobile can attach something to it, Verizon can attach something to it. And that's the concern that this person has that works in the communications field. He says that this could be a real problem for Heath Broadband. As a result, it's my suggestion to the Board of Selectmen, to the Select Board, as a result of also talking, you can see in my email, Mr. Maxson, that Maxson will give us, he'll come to the public hearings. He'll give us an idea what the special permit is. He knows all the ins and outs of putting these poles up. He's dealt with AT&T before. So I think he's a good person to get on board. He suggested that we should have an attorney because I don't know what our legal rights are here. I know it's a different category because it has to do with FirstNet Responder. So the reason these poles are going up, there's at least one in Coleraine, maybe two, there's one in Ashfield, there's one or two in Charlemont. They're going up under the guise of the FirstNet, which is the First Responder Network Authority, which arose out of 9/11 in Sandy Hook, because I guess there was a real problem about first responders communicating. But it's also allowing AT&T to come in to get their cell service going. And the concern that I have, which is why the board has agreed to hire Mr. Matson, I think we also need to hire an attorney to find out what our legal rights are. And I know that John Eichmann has a conflict with Florida. I don't know if he's up to snuff, so to speak, on all of these issues or not. You can see in my email, I did speak to an attorney in New York, Andrew Campanelli, and you can look him up on the website. He deals with these all the time, FCC, monopoles. And what he said that if we do engage him, that he would cut his fee from $450 to $225. And he thought it would be for him to get the special permit application, which if you look at it online, it's very professionally done, but it was AT&T. And there's a lot of information in there. So he's feeling that between $1,500 and $2,000, he could complete the report and get back to us as to what our legal rights are and are not. So that's what I was asking the select board, the select board, if in fact we can engage Mr. Campanelli for a fee of between $1,500 and $2,000 to see what our legal rights are. Max and other people that are familiar with this area will tell us about the poll and what our options are from that point. But as Mr. Maxson said, he's not a lawyer, and you really need someone who knows, because you're dealing with the FCC and AT&T. I have put a call into Bill Ennen, and I haven't heard back. He's he's involved in he was the liaison for the last mile. He's for housing and economic development in the state, and I've heard him on some of the broadband calls, and he's very knowledgeable. So again, I'm reaching out to him to find out what the aspect is of having this pole go up in Heath at 180 feet and what our options are. So that kind of is in a nutshell where we are and what we as a board are asking you to allow us to do. So I'm sure there are other board members on, but if any of the select board have questions, either I can answer them or other board members who are probably on the call can answer them.
Thanks, Cal. Gloria, do you have questions? Hello,
Gloria.
Cal.
Yes.
Is there any way we could put this pole up and tell them they can't put cell dishes or apparatus on it?
Well, that's one of the things that I would like to know the answer to that. My understanding is that you can work out agreements with AT&T, but I don't know what our legal rights are as far as doing that. I mean, we could negotiate the height, we could negotiate what goes on there, but I don't know where we stand to do that. David Maxim, as far as the technical aspect of it, could help us out, but I don't know legally where we stand. Yeah, I would think that if this poll is going up, there's a lot of negotiation that would have to take place so that it's, you know, you want to be fair to them, but you're going to be fair to us, you know, the residents of the town of Heath. So.
Right. Doug wants to chime in here. He's got an answer or has a comment. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, just a couple things. The reason the pole needs to be 180 feet is because all of these other Sprint and Verizon and some other network, they need 10 feet of separation between each provider. So if AT&T is at 180, then Sprint will be at 170 and Verizon will be at 160 and the next one on down will be on the next one down. I think it's really important to keep in mind that we can lose $1,000 per per year per person. And my brother right now lives out in Western Pennsylvania, and he uses a Verizon box. It's a little box like this, and it's the same as a cell phone. And he gets 50 gigs down, and it's unlimited. And I think he's paying 50 or 60 bucks a month for that Verizon wireless service. So this is a direct competition, and we really need to know if we can turn this based on the fact that it's competing with us. We may not be able to, but I think Campanelli, I talked to Campanelli for 15 or 20 minutes. He's really knowledgeable, and he's $25 more than our town council, but he's studied all this. It's all he does. So he's not going to have to go spend time researching what our rights are and what they are not. So I feel very strongly that we should get at least a finding from Campanelli to know where we stand. And we got to do that kind of quickly. And that's all I have for right now.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Gloria, do you have other follow-up questions?
I think I mentioned this the last time, but does this have anything to do with the new radio system that the FERCOG is organizing for all of Franklin County? Do we need this?
Gloria, I contacted FERCOG because I was aware of that program also, as well, and I contacted them and asked them about it, and they said, no, this is totally independent of what they're doing.
I don't want to mess up our emergency services in any way, but...
Well,
I'm also, I'm also concerned about where we're going to get the money for yet more legal fees.
Okay. Anything else, Gloria?
No, I think that's enough.
Okay. Brian, do you have questions?
Yes. First of all, do we have enough in the legal account to cover the cost at $2,000? Because I think we can't avoid this. I mean,
we have a little over $1,000 in there, but we're going to use it all, I'm sure.
say that again, Glory. How much?
I can tell as, hold on, I'll tell you exactly. $4,372.06 as of April 11th, but we still need to send warrants to town council, and he needs to come out here for our annual town meeting. And Hilma, you probably know if we have anything else pending, but I think I remember you saying that we might have to put more money in that line.
They usually allow us to bill the next year. KP Law usually gives us the option to bill in the next year, so.
Well, they give us the option to pay. Well, never mind. That's another discussion. It's still money. Hilma, what were you going to say?
Oh. Well, I was going to say, first of all, keep in mind that even though the report is from whatever, April 6th, it does not include the month of March. Their invoicing is like a month behind our financial reports. So you're talking about 4 months, like of the $4,300, there's 4 months of their, let's say, usual expenses. But the usual expenses in this case, as Gloria said, include like reviewing town meeting warrant, coming to town meeting. It's also going to include the Y Valley poll situation in terms of a poll hearing or whatever. Hopefully nothing else major will happen between now and July 1st. So I guess one way or the other, we're going to have to transfer more money into the legal account.
Yeah. My feeling, well, my questions were already either asked or presented. I mean, I really want to know that competition to our own broadband system is enough to reject or refuse this. So if we don't have that answer, I feel like we need to get that answer. And also what was said about first responders, emergency services, I think we need to have a little, you know, make sure that we're clear and that there's no issues there as well. I don't know that we need legal for that, but we definitely need legal for the competition to our broadband system. So I personally don't see how we can avoid the expense of the legal assistance. And if we are being told that this individual, help me, Andrew, if that's the person who's going to best assist us with the quickest answers, that's probably a good call for us at this point. That's my feeling, and those were I have the same questions, obviously, that everybody else has. So.
I agree with that. We need to spend the money. I'm just, you know, as always, wondering where it's coming from. That's all. But I think we definitely have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doug, the person that you mentioned, is this person a lawyer or is this a telecommunications consultant?
I spoke to the lawyer, and Cal spoke to, I think, both the consultant and the lawyer. So the AT&T will pay for the consultant, but we have to pay for the lawyer.
Okay.
And that was Campanelli.
It's in the email, Brian. Yeah, David Maxim is a consultant. He's dealt with AT&T before. And as I said, in our bylaws, AT&T will pay for him. And when I spoke with Attorney Campanelli, he said he'd keep it as close to $1,500. But as you know, I put the $2,000 in because if it goes over a little bit. But he said he would do his best to keep it to $1,500. I told him we didn't have any money and that we were a small town. And he said he cut his fee in half. So I think it would be money well spent. At least we would know legally where we stand regarding the, as Robin brought up, the competition to our broadband. We do have a height requirement. That's why they're in front of the planning board. But as far as legally how we can respond to the height of the, you know, negotiating the height of the pole, negotiating keeping these other things off the pole, I don't know where we stand on that. And he said he would be happy to help us and can tell us. Could tell us pretty quickly.
Should we take a vote on this to approve the legal expenses for the planning board?
Yeah, I just have one question that's not related to that vote, but is the height limitation enough to refuse it, Cal?
It's there, but when I spoke to, I spoke to two people. I'm not sure, and that's why I wanted to engage David. What David said is, you know, when you make, it was Andrew Campanelli said, when you make your ruling, if you want it to hold, it's got to be done the right way because you're dealing with AT&T, so you have to have all your I's dotted and T's crossed, and I'm not sure if height alone is sufficient where they're coming in as a first responder network. I didn't have the answer to that, so that's why I figured we should engage an attorney who knew something about the areas that I know nothing about.
Okay. Thanks. All right. So support. Yeah, that's good. That makes sense. Select Board, Gloria, you want to put a motion on the table, please?
I move that the Select Board authorizes the Planning Board to contact the attorney in New York, Campanelli, is that his name? Campanelli, with regard to AT&T's request for a 180-foot pole.
Brian, you want to second that?
He disappeared.
Ooh, what happened to Brian?
AT&T.
Brian.
No, it's Verizon.
Verizon.
Brian.
service. We lost service.
I'll tell him to get on your phone and second it.
I will.
This is why we need broadband.
You think?
I'm taking all of Brian's bandwidth.
Yeah, I'm checking it on
the phone. Did he second it?
I'm here now.
Can you second that?
Now he's muted.
You're muted. You're muted.
Robin?
I'm going to second it.
So,
okay. And then I'm going to open it up for discussion. And I saw that Doug was raising his hand. So I'm just asking, Doug, do you have a discussion on our motion that's on the table?
No, I have just a quick procedural thing. You can, whoever's hosting can rename phone numbers into the actual name so we know who people are. That was my only little thing.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
So, Robin,
further discussion, select board members. Go ahead. Cal, did you have something?
So I just want a point of clarification. As a result of that vote, when I talked to Attorney Campanelli, I can tell him that we can spend $1,500 up to $2,000 for him to review that and give us an answer, but that we'd like him to stay as close to $1,500 as possible. That's my... Yes. Okay, thank you.
I believe that was... Gloria, is that your motion?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
But we haven't voted yet.
No. Any further discussion from the select board?
I have none.
All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, Cal?
No, nothing at this time. We're having a public hearing on April 29th at 7 p.m. As I said, probably the first of either one or two, or two or three.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Robin?
Anything else? Doug,
Robin?
Anything else? Hold on.
I'm good.
Okay, and who's trying to talk to me, Hilma?
Yes. I think you folks need to do a second motion authorizing the treasurer to set up a 53G account for the town.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Gloria, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye.
Thank you.
Very good.
I just have what, so Hilma, are you going to contact David Fierro, or should I contact him, or should we both try and contact him?
I'll contact David and the treasurer as well.
Okay, because David and I have been calling each other back and forth, but we haven't connected yet. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, FinCom, we ran a little late there. So it is 6:40, sorry, 10 minutes. We just needed to wrap that up. And we now have finance with us. Let's see. I see Will, Alice, Ned, you know, Jan's most likely here, and Ken. Everybody's here. I see everyone. Great, thanks. Welcome. So if everyone else could be muted, FinCom and Select Board will be speaking. Oh, I just wrote on myself. Christ. Okay, so I'm sorry I wasn't here last week, so I'm going to try to kind of get through what we have on the agenda. There might be a couple items that I'm out of the loop on. Just holler at me and straighten me out. I guess the big thing is to get right into the budget review. I know you guys worked on this last week. Are we in a position where we still need to go line by line? Or are we somewhat comfortable?
Well, Robin?
Go ahead, Ned.
I would suggest line by line, but restricted to the lines which Hilma indicates on her her memo today.
Budget All right.
In okay. addition to what Hilma has on her memo, I have a couple things that I wanted to ask as well.
Okay. All right. So maybe we'll go through Hilma's memo, and then we'll go back and hit other items that folks have, if that's okay. That kind of keeps Hilma straight with her notes. So we should have in front of us the budget worksheet notes and considerations dated April 13th. I believe that's what we all have. And we have the budget worksheet with the same date. So the first line item is line item number 7. And this is the salary of the office assistant. So Ned, do you want to give your comments on each of these as we go through first? Is that how we're going to move?
I'd like an opportunity to comment. We covered some ground, but not as much as we need to. So if you'd give me a chance to say something, I'd appreciate it. And I will mm-hmm. have something. I'll have something to say sometimes, but not always.
All right. Okay. So you want to start off with line 7, or you have anything prior to
We talked about line 7, and we actually passed a motion to recommend the hiring of an office assistant for 2 hours a week with a COLA.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just reading as we're talking. All right, so 2 hours a week. All right. Select board members, Gloria, are you good with that?
I'm good with that. I just wanted to clarify, and that's 2 hours a week at $15.31 per hour.
Well, we actually said nothing about the wage at the in the motion. I would support $15.31. Yes.
Okay. Brian, are you good with that? I lost you, Brian, there.
Oh.
Yeah, you good?
Good.
Okay. All right. So that good with you, Hilma?
Well, yes, but I have a clarifying question.
Okay.
Is that like 2 hours per week? So that would be 104 hours added to the, I believe it's 70 hours that are built in now for coverage during like the town coordinator's vacation, sick time, that kind of stuff.
I would think so.
I would think so, but Ned, what was your thought? Okay. What was finance committee thought on that?
That sounds okay to me. We see what other FinCom members think. We didn't focus on that distinction.
Any other finance committee want to chirp in on that, have any comments on that? Are you good with adding it to the hours we were already setting aside?
I am.
Okay. Alice, you're muted. Muted. I see your lips.
This is Ken. So the previous hours, they were used in full every year?
Thelma?
Let's see. I don't believe they were in 2019. You know, this, or maybe I should say fiscal year 2020. They most likely will be for fiscal year 21.
And if I may, this is Gloria. One of the reasons they weren't used in full was because I was doing it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm in agreement with that then. I know last week we discussed the 2 hours, but we weren't aware that it was in addition to this. But if those other hours are already being used up, then I'm in agreement with adding the additional two.
Yeah, and I think the plan behind the 2 hours a week, in addition to whatever, is to get the person knowledgeable so that they can do it all by themselves for the 70 hours, instead of me coming in and doing it because the office assistant didn't really know.
Right. Alice, I know you wanted to comment. Go ahead.
I don't know, I'm inclined to stay with the 2 hours a week because theoretically it may not need the 2 hours a week certain weeks. And if that's the case, then you're going to have some build since we're already adding to the hours and we're looking at, you know, being mindful. We don't know whether it will be completely used. We do know that obviously people are allowed stuff. But just because I work 10 hours doesn't necessarily mean because I'm out for a week that I need somebody working my 10 hours. I just need them to maintain the office within that certain capacity. So if you have somebody working 40, you're not necessarily going to need, or 35, you're not going to need somebody there 35. You could use somebody eight or 10 doing certain things and keeping the office flowing, which is, I believe, what Gloria was doing. And I wouldn't say that she was in there 35 hours, unless I'm wrong, Gloria.
No, I tried to do it as fast as humanly possible, but I didn't do a lot of stuff that really needed to be done. But your point is well taken. The person probably would not have to be there for the full day's hours.
Right. And thereby you may have residual hours throughout the, and if we need to, we address it. I would rather start low and work into it than end up building it in and not needing it.
Well, if we do 2 hours a week, that's 104 hours. We've got budgeted right now 70 hours.
Which adds a week of vacation time in there, theoretically.
Well, 70 hours is 2 weeks of vacation. Or whatever. But I'm just saying, if the person is scheduled to work 2 hours a week so they can learn what's going on, then we still need additional time because 2 hours a week is not going to be nearly enough if Hilma is on vacation for a week or out sick or whatever. So maybe there's some kind of compromise we could make here, because this person's going to work 2 hours a week, and that's right. Going to be like their training, and they're going to do whatever.
So maybe
when someone's not there, they're going to be working more than their 2 hours.
Right. Maybe we do 2 hours a week plus 1 week. Because the 2 hours a week, we're actually going to hire somebody for. That's going to be a 2-hour-a-week position, right?
Right.
So 2 hours plus a week, 2 hours plus 35, split the difference and then see how it goes, maybe?
Well, when we see how it goes, we'll run out of money, but yeah, we can see how it goes.
No, for this year, we'll have to say that's all we have, but then if it doesn't work, we're going to have to reassess the next year, one way or another.
So budget it for 140 hours instead of 139. I don't know why we always go right to the penny on everything. It'd be easier to just round and have a nice number. Do the 140 hours, which is the 104 plus a week of 35 with an hour to spare.
Makes good sense to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me too. It's a good starting point.
Yeah. I second that. Okay, so
if I can say that the 104 hours plus 35 hours comes to $2,143.40.
Okay. All right. The next line is line 42, technical support.
Did we decide on the 140 hours? Did we decide on, is that what we decided on? Because someone, was that what you weren't quoting that, right?
Yeah. Okay, I've got that. I also have the figure for the 70 hours. If you do the 104 plus 70, that amount would be $2,663.94. So you're talking about a $500 difference.
Well, I'm inclined, as this is a new position that we're advancing, I'd rather start small and know that we need it and figure it out after than to bill for something that we don't necessarily need in excess when we're already adding to it to begin with.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's put it in as the 2 week, 2 hours per week plus the 35, the 21, whatever you just said there.
The 140 hours a year?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that for now. That's my feeling.
That sounds good.
Okay. And ultimately, if we get to the end of the year, it's such really small money. There's probably, you know, money that can be maneuvered, and then we rebudget it next year at a different amount.
All right. Good job. Line 42, technical support, town building. All buildings will be one account. Finance, Ned, anything on 42?
Well, yes. The idea that all subscriptions will be one fee is, I think, dependent on the decision being made that there will be a sort of a separate net for the municipal buildings. In other words, rather than having the buildings connected in the way that residences all have their own municipal network. I don't think that decision's been made yet, and there are important questions still to be answered. If it is decided to go that way, it does make sense, I think, to have a line. Yes.
Question, sorry, this is Hilma. Question. My understanding from the meeting with Joe Parda last week was that that decision had been made, that there was a way to network all the four town buildings together to allow for one account, one subscription, that would cost less than four separate subscriptions. And Northeast IT is proceeding accordingly. Whose decision are we waiting on? if the decision hasn't been made?
I think on the MLB, because information came out today that there might be a downside to having all of the buildings on one ONT in case an ONT does go out. It means all town buildings are out.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we should postpone this question until after our MLB meeting on Thursday.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we know we have the 12-month IT subscription. We just need to follow up on the actual internet subscription.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got to revisit that one, everybody.
Yeah.
After Thursday.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
Yeah. Well, no question is dumb, but go ahead.
Oh, I think this one might be. Why are we? Aren't we the owners of the broadband? Why are we billing ourselves?
That's not a dumb question.
I'm a little confused as to why we're billing ourselves. Wouldn't we build in the cost of the fees to offset any municipal, since a municipal, we don't bill ourselves for real estate? My mind is absolutely like blown right now. I'm sitting here going, we're budgeting for something like we would budget to pay our own self for taxes. We're paying this. Why are we billing ourselves? We're double billing ourselves. Am I wrong?
I recall that there was a conversation and that was an option to not bill the town for its use of the system.
But because we're already paying for it. We're paying for it in our tax base, and thereby we're now paying for it again when we're taxing our residents.
I think we're going to have a discussion on this Thursday night. So
would we say there's more to come on this next Tuesday?
Yes. And we will ask that question.
I'm absolutely just baffled. Never heard of such a thing in my life.
I can't remember what the answer was, but when it was explained the first time, it made sense. So we'll find out the answer again.
The answer was for transparency between the town and the MLB, which is trying to run a separate business. And it's a mixed bag. Some towns do it this way, some towns do it the other way.
But for transparency's sake, are we standing up at town meeting? Is the MLB standing up at town meeting and saying, by the way, you're paying for this in your tax base and your override and or your debt exclusion, and thereby on top of that, we're taxing you for the use? I mean, that's transparency.
It's more of the firewall between the select board and town and the MLB.
But the residents are paying for it twice. They're paying the MLB or the whatever, and then they're paying the town.
I don't think they're paying it twice.
Well, we borrowed on it.
Alice, maybe you should tune in on Thursday night if you can. We'll actually have people together who know all these answers and why.
I'm just trying to understand, when you're dealing as a municipality, you don't typically pay for services that you yourself are owning and providing. That's why so there's an MLB meeting Thursday.
Yes.
7:00.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's on the agenda.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. All right. 43 is the municipal light plant manager salary. What's the question here? Does this position get wage adjustment? Ned, answer.
All right. Well, we didn't actually discuss this as a committee. My answer is yes, it does.
Okay. Anyone have an issue with that?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Okay. We can make the adjustment on that. That, you good with that, Helma?
Sure. I just asked the question.
Yep. 47. Sawyer Hall maintenance and utilities. Should the payphone be kept?
No. What a waste of money.
Anybody?
Sell it on eBay.
Yes, sell
it. Honestly, well, I don't know how it is nowadays, but when people's phone goes out at home, they use that phone to get to call like Verizon to come and help them.
Well, if we had a cell tower, they could just make a call right from there from their house.
Well, if the cell tower covers the entire town, and if we actually have a cell tower, I mean, yeah, it's there to help people who phone goes out, or they need it for an emergency.
I'd love to have a ticker that would see how many people actually use it over the course of a year.
I wonder if we can figure that out right through the phone company. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I suspect that it's not used enough to make it worth the cost.
Me either. I agree, Ken.
Well, you know, honestly, if someone's freaking out or they need something, we can't. I don't think you can put a dollar amount on some of this stuff of like how much is it worth to someone to keep it or to not keep it.
Right, but that's one individual versus a town. We're for the better of the town, not one or two individuals. And you have neighbors, that's where we live. That's your, I mean, most people tend to rely on their neighbors, know their neighbors, be in touch with their neighbors.
Brian, you have a feeling on the phone?
There is a point that Gloria's making, and that it's not so much the problems with the phone. It's like if you lose power, a lot of people have cordless phones, and those don't work if you don't have electric have power, where the phone line often is still live. So if you're so like I have a regular telephone that's that I use in that case, but not everyone does. And I mean, there is an argument to be made, as Gloria suggested. But it would be interesting to know how many people use that.
It would be, because your point, Brian, I have a $5 phone that I can, when the power goes out, we can plug it into the phone jack. So the town tax people shouldn't be paying for all these other people that could do the same.
Correct. Same thing. I mean, you know where you live. It's like living up here and not having, you know, with 100 acres and no mower, you know.
Okay. Well, maybe we should look at how much use it gets.
I'm happy to follow up on that since I suggested it. I will look into that. Robin. On 49. Okay.
No.
What was that? Oh, whoops, sorry. That was 47. 49. Sorry, everybody. Payphone, that's 47. 49. What's 49? Okay, so, Hilma plugged in 40,000 here, to be determined. I guess this looks like the number that was discussed last week.
Yeah, I would put in, we had originally figured something like 55 or 56, which I would put in because I think that we might maybe looking at higher fuel costs in the coming year. It was very economical. And find the expenditures to date.
Didn't we determine that there's still money left in the Mohawk account, and that's how we came up with the $40,000?
There is, as of April 11th, which as Selma pointed out is a little bit behind, there was $21,150.15 left in that account. I know there's one more. I mean, there's the electric bill, which comes every month but doesn't get paid until the very end, and I don't know if that's for the previous month. And then there's always, well, there's usually a Sandry or a heating oil bill. This account started at $53,000. Helma predicted that last week that maybe we could, it would end up with $10,000 left in it. I'm with Brian. I think it needs more than $40,000.
Ned, was there a recommendation from the Finance Committee on this?
There was not. My own feeling is that whether it's 38 or 40 or 55, it's obviously a lot of money. And we have talked of getting rental income for the building, and in a year of a pandemic, it's hard to do a lot of things, including that. But looking to the possibility that there could be rental income that's more than, well, we got maybe close to 5,000 this year.
7,300.
70, and So some of that went into the revolving fund and was taken out, or my understanding is that the revolving fund had about 5,000 in.
That's true? Never up to date either.
May I say something, Robin, to clarify on this point?
Go ahead, Pam.
We will have 7,300, about that, perhaps somewhat more by the end of the fiscal year, because we have monthly rent coming in from TriWire, and Jonathan has had his program approved and will be paying us just under $1,000 for that. Mm-hmm. So, but I do want to say that that building has been essential to us in the past year. We could not have functioned as a town without it. If you make a list of all the things we've been able to do because we have that building, it's a pretty serious list. And I don't think it's time to chintz on it.
All right, so we've got 1,000 in there, right? Go ahead, Ned.
Well, I was going to say that that's that's a lot of money, and it would be great to get more rental income than we have. And I haven't been on sort of the head of the effort to do that, so I don't know what firsthand what the responses have been, but it seems to me possible that broadband to full potential might be a plus in renting. Right now, the plans are in place for broadband to be hooked up to the school building, and that will speed up any computer in the building, no doubt. And that in itself could be a plus in getting more rental income. But an even greater plus has been mentioned in previous meetings, which is to get the upgraded wiring, what's it called, Cat 6 or something, that would make even greater speed, take full advantage of the broadband.
I think the issue right now is just having enough money in that account that we don't have to worry about, you know, special town meeting or going to the finance committee's reserve fund. So we have to figure out a number to put in there that we're comfortable with. You know, if there's accumulation in the revolving fund, that can be appropriated at a town meeting, you know, like we do any other account, or at the end of the year when we are, you know, transferring funds from one account to another. Well, we just have to have a reasonable number in there to cover, you know, we know oil is going up, so we can count on that being increased for the coming year. I mean, the expense that we had will be increased next year.
Well, I'm just one member on the finance committee, but that's my suggestion for possibly boosting the rental income and feeling somewhat better about having such a large amount of town money not compensated for with rent.
So Brian, you had suggested 50-something thousand. Is the 40,000 plus the 10 that we're going to have left in the HEAT school maintenance count, does that cover that? Or are you suggesting bumping this to 50 with the 10 that we think that we seems like we're going to have left in the other account?
If we know we're going to have 10, then we estimated that the operating cost was about 56,000, which it actually was less this year. It appears that it's going to be. But if we know we still would have $10,000 in that account, we certainly could reduce that 56 to 46.
We also have the expense of getting Cat 6 wire in, which has been estimated between $7,500 and
$10,000. Well, we need to look at this a little more carefully. We have something in the revolving account. We have an estimated 10,000 left over in the Mohawk line or?
Yeah, Mohawk money.
If we can do this tonight, fine. If we need to revisit this next week, you know, putting the numbers for the Cat 6 wiring. But I mean, if we could get the tech school to do that, that would be great. I mean, that's because they're really economical and it's good experience for them.
So I have a question about how we're handling that Cat 6 wiring expense. So that's a project. Right? That's a project that has to happen at that location. Are we now going to take a look at all of the buildings and add the project cost to the building line item? So if we're going to do work at Sawyer Hall or Community Hall, is that project cost going to be added to these line items, or is that a one-time project cost? Is it a budget item or is it a project cost?
I would think it would be a free cash. I think you would deal with it out of free cash. It's a one-time purchase. It's not like you're going to be running it every year. It's not an operational cost. Article 3 is supposed to be your operating budget.
That's what we have special projects for.
Right. So I think that Cat 6 item, I agree, needs to be remembered and we need to discuss it, but it certainly isn't this line item expense. I mean, it needs to be apples to apples for all the buildings, right? I assume that's what we're accomplishing in this. Whatever we're keeping in a line item for one building, one location, that's the same type of thing we're doing for all of them. So that's transparency and clarity, so everybody knows where we're at. everything's the same across the board. So that's just my thought, or my assumption is how we're doing it. Because I have a lot of questions that are going to come up in regards to the other buildings of items we have to do. And I guess I just am wondering I assume those items were not going to be in these other line items around here. They're going to be special projects or warrant articles if they're large enough. But that's my thought.
What if we put 50 in that line for the time being?
That was going to be my recommendation, 50.
I was going to go with 45.
50 works for me as well.
The only reason I was thinking 50 is as we get closer to D-Day, if they will have a little bit more clarity as to how much money we have left in that other pot, and we can come down if we needed to. But if we have 50 in there now, at least we're covered. We could also drop it on the floor.
This budget kind of needs to be done in 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, so Hilma and I spoke earlier today about this, and it looks like, and Hilma, you can hop in if I've got this wrong, but I thought I kept good note. It looks like we've got next week, which is April 20th, for a review. And then we have the next week, which is the 27th,
yeah,
for the vote of the select board. So we need a vote of the finance committee prior to that. And then we're looking at getting it out posted by April 30th. So that's roughly what
we're
looking
at. So we have 2 weeks to get this pulled together.
Yep, you got it.
I thought we discussed last week at the meeting to have it more or less wrapped up on the 20th so that we weren't dragging this out in case there was a last minute something that hit the fan, if you will.
Yes, we have to have it. That's what I'm saying. We have to be pretty close on the 20th so you guys can vote. You finance committee has to vote and submit that vote to Hilma so she can get that to the select board for our vote on the next meeting.
Well, it's not helpful. Like right now, we haven't touched anything from line 42 on. This should have been a separate meeting where we could have addressed this, because this is like taking so much time to sit here and go over, have a joint meeting, and we're discussing it in the meeting. We're supposed to come with recommendations. And this is, I mean, we could be here another hour just getting through line 163. And we can't even set numbers, and we're supposed to be done by next week.
What's going to happen? We're going to be here for a while, correct?
So
we're putting 50 in. We're putting 50
on it.
The maintenance for the Heath School building.
50 grand, right?
Yeah. 53. Is the insurance, that's just all the insurance, right? There's no discussion there?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
We had it as 57 last year, and then moved out 11,900 for the school building. But then there was two requests from the reserve fund for $1,040, which were insurance related. So does this cover all of that, Hilma?
Yes, it should.
Okay.
If you look at my worksheet.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, yeah.
Yeah. It's the 45,100 plus
gotcha.
Building insurance plus those mid-year audit adjustments.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions on the insurance?
No.
All right. Next is 58, police department salaries. We have a request for $1 extra per hour for the officers. Ned, is there a finance committee recommendation?
No.
Uh-huh.
Brian, how do you, what is your thought on that?
Well, I thought we were talking about $2 for the officers, and John, I think, had asked for $1 on his.
John had asked for $1 for the officers and $1 for himself, but he is really right there along with everybody, all the other police chiefs.
Yeah.
Right now, the police officers make $17.48 an hour. I think that's really not very much.
It isn't. So I would recommend $2 for the officers and $1 for the chief.
Well, you know, I'm thinking none for the chief because he's right there. I mean, we're nickel and diming the town coordinator assistant, but we're like going to throw $1 an hour at the chief and $2 at the officers. That seems a little bit crazy, honestly.
I go $1.50 on officers, bring them up to 19, which looks a little more, I think most towns are somewhere close around 20.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
That's fair.
Plus, I mean, they're getting $17.48 right now without cost of living, which is not that much anyway, but so that should be good.
That'll bring them up to the like 19 and change.
Yeah.
The officers are going to get an increase of $1.50 plus the COLA increase.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Both. Okay.
Yep.
And the chief will only get the COLA increase?
That's what I would recommend.
No. That would be my personal recommendation.
What's, Gloria, what's his current?
The police chief's current is $24.59.
How can you pay your police chief less money than, like, for example, the MLP manager?
I guess it depends on what you think their responsibility is. I don't know.
One packs a gun.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and wears a bulletproof vest every time he works.
Where's the chiefs and the rest of the towns?
Well, I was trying to find a comparable.
I got it. Hold on.
I have Charlemont chief is $19.44 an hour. Coleraine is $23.46. Hawley is $24.01. New Salem is $29.44. Rowe is $24.54. Warwick is $18.99.
Oh, he's right in there.
Yeah, no, he's sort of at the, near the top of right in there.
Yeah, he's solid in there.
Although I would say he deals with Mohawk Estates, which during the summer months can be quite a challenge.
What is it, 24 what?
51.
I think we need to look at the grading of that position because I don't think we can just change. Is that graded, Hilma?
Police chief? Yes, it is.
Yeah, so the select board needs to look at the grading of that. I can't just...
He's a grade 14.
So I would recommend that we go ahead and make the movement of the officers, but that the select board, it will be required to take a look. Just, we should all look at, the three of us look at that grading, read the, Helma, can you send us the
job description?
Yes, thank you. That's what I was trying to say. I was drawing a blank, and we'll have to have a quick conversation about that next week, select board members. Because that one really should, we should review the grade real quick. We shouldn't just be making that decision here, split like that. All right. Line 62 is the fire chief stipend. Finance committee, anything on that?
As far as I'm concerned, getting a COLA, that's the question, right?
No, the question is that on the floor at the last annual town meeting, I think it was the last one, there was actually a request from the floor to increase the stipend. I don't think the stipend for our chief has been increased since he's been here. That's the first part of it. And then should it be subject to COLA? So it's twofold, I guess, on that one.
Can stipends be part of a subject to COLA? Because they're not for anybody else.
They can be.
But if we did it for one, wouldn't we have to do it for everyone?
No, not necessarily.
I am right. A stipend typically isn't subject to COLA. I mean, it hasn't been for the last, I don't know, 8 or more years, but. We could raise the stipend.
I was going to say.
Historically, at one point in time, everybody was included, or all positions were included in COLA, including...
Yeah, they just haven't been for the past however many years.
Right.
But so we could include the stipend.
Whatever's decided.
If you look at the town of Charlemont, their chief is making almost $8,900 a year. Coal Rain is $6,120, and I think that might be changing.
I 100% believe that we should be increasing the stipend. This is my personal opinion. I think that the chief has done a remarkable job for the town of Heath. The department is much larger and much more productive than they've been for a while. And it's been since we've never increased it since he's been here. So
I have no problem increasing it.
And we have one more new person tonight that's a girl from town.
It's great. Spectacular.
I know.
Also, take advantage of his relationship with Coleraine to help the town of Heath a lot, too. You know, our tax get charged there, and that saves us on having to buy a compressor. And I mean, he's brought a lot to this town.
Well, I think we all agree that he deserves more money, but my question is how much should we make be?
Maybe we could match Coleraine's salary.
Well, that's a fair idea. That's a good philosophy.
Which I like that idea.
$6,120.
Yep. That's a great idea. How much is it, Jan?
$6,120.
I think we should match it to what they're going to budget for this coming year. if they, you know, hold that, or are they going to increase it?
I did the budget with them. I'm not sure. They may end up adding the COLA. That's the difference, because Colerain will periodically, if a department like police or fire, fire, they will add it if it's at the request, but I'm not sure whether that's, so I would say his base salary is going to stay the same.
Okay.
Being his clerk and all.
So we change it to 6,120?
Sure. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because he makes 15.30 an hour, or a quarter.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Beautiful. Thank you for that idea. Good idea, Jan. The next one is 115 Code Red. Leave in budget or pay from CARES Act, the RPA funds. I don't know. I don't know what to say on that one.
Well, I think since we've had it for a number of years, that we can't really say we have it because of the CARES Act. I mean, we're paying more because of that, but we've had it for quite a while. And then that means that next year we have to add it back in.
Right. I'm with Gloria. Keep it there and budget it accordingly. It's an annual expense.
I agree. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
Okay. 119 and 122, senior center director and council on aging chair stipends and expenses, leave in budget or pay from the grant.
I understand that it's an eligible expense from the grant, and the grant could.
It is an eligible expense. It definitely is an eligible expense, but I think it's. I'm having a little bit of a problem with it, honestly, because it seems a little bit disrespectful of like. Oh, you guys work really hard, but we're going to take you off and no one's going to remember you, and we're just going to pay it from the grant that we're getting. I don't know. I mean, we do buy a lot of stuff with that grant, so.
I would go with the same theory.
I'm not, you know, everybody else can make up the decision on this one.
Wouldn't we just go with the same theory as we did with line 11 with the code red? I mean, it's an annual expense, we pay it. If we have a grant, use the grant towards other things to benefit our seniors, because the majority of our money goes to the schools, and budget it accordingly.
Okay. Anybody disagree with keeping it in the budget as it stands? Okay, so we'll leave it there, Helma. Thank you for bringing that up. I got lots of pages here. Okay. 129, library assistant salary, question mark on increase, history, 15-year experience, can assume responsibilities if the librarian is absent.
I think we should increase it.
I'm fine with that.
What is it right now? Let me look.
It's like 1487 with the COLA, is that?
I think we should just make it a straight 15. Oh, wait a minute. Salary library assistant it's 1509 right now.
Is that adjusted for COLA or not?
No, that's what it is right this moment.
Must have an old
No. I sent everybody the salary thing from last year a while ago, which has FY21s on it, but it doesn't have FY22s on it.
Is that a graded position?
It's a grade 4. The library director, however, is a grade 11. So when the library oh, wait a minute. Are you talking library assistant or library substitute?
No,
maybe we should be talking library substitute.
No. Library assistant.
Well, it says on the thing that you wrote that can assume responsibility that the librarian is as absent, but I thought that's what the library substitute did.
Right, but the point is that many times they don't use a library substitute.
Oh, okay.
Because handle it by herself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm agreeing that she should get a raise. I just didn't realize it was at 1509.
So the assistant is a grade what?
She's grade 4, which is,
so
you know,
it looks like grade 4 at the 1425 minimum wage for 22. The mid-range is 1662.
I would say we go at least 16. I mean, if she's, you've got some of these smaller towns that I was looking at that are coming in at like, where was I?
Well, 16. if grade 4 goes up to 1997 and she's been there for 15 years, I would think she'd be up toward the top of the grade.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think.
It probably just hasn't been graded forever. That's another one of the ones we should be looking at. But yeah, I mean, at the very minimum, that it should be at least at the middle, which is 1662, and then it probably should be regraded.
Or do you think we should make it 18?
That sounds good.
Yep. Okay. Unless anybody disagrees.
So what's the final thing? 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then 163 is special projects. And we have left in special projects. I don't have that in front of me right now. Does anybody have that in front of them?
Are you asking how much we have left in there?
Yes.
It's really hard to tell because it's broken up into individual projects.
Yeah, that's
So, and I don't know if anything we've done recently has that been taken out of there. I mean, I can volunteer to go through the special projects numbers and find out what's been spent and what hasn't been spent. But I don't think anyone can do it just by looking at the expense reports at the moment.
Okay, and we know we're going to take $2,600 out for the hardware for Sawyer. And the trust situation is probably going to eat up a good chunk of that unless we're going to talk about a replacement of the structure.
Well, if we're going to do that, we got to do it soon.
Yeah, we do.
And we need numbers. I mean, I saw the pictures Jeff sent us.
I've got a dollar amount of what's left in special projects.
Okay.
I came up with $6,850.
Yeah, so that's going to be, we're taking 26 out of it.
Which leaves like 4,000.
Yep. So there isn't going to be anything left. So we're going to be, assuming we put that towards the salt shed for at least the repairs, because we still have to do some repair. So we've got to assume we're going to eat that money up on that repair. Even if we're going to replace.
Well, actually, you know, I'm looking at this, and there's remedy inspection items from Community Hall, there's 850 left. Sir Hall valve issue, there's 3,600 left. Yeah, there's not that much left. Yeah, so, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt Robin.
That's fine, that's fine. So I think we need to really figure out as a group what we're really looking at for special projects. And some of the, I'll just throw out some of the things that have kind of been tossing around in my head is in response to all different items that people have brought up at meetings or in the town, but we've got a couple articles on the warrant in regards to accessibility. So there's a number of projects that we really need to start looking at these buildings very quickly that we're being questioned about, in my mind. Accessibility.
We reviewed the building facilities report, and they have identified a number of high priority items. You know, some of the high priority items we can't really do. We just don't have the money. But we certainly could prioritize the high priority items and come up with a budget. I think Will Emmett is working on getting some preliminary cost estimates on them. So that's at least a starting point for developing a special projects budget.
Yeah, we got some dollar figures last week from Will and Steve, right?
That's correct, and we have some more actually now. Steve just got back to me with some of the estimates on the carpentry type things.
You know, it would be really helpful if you guys could put that in writing.
Sure. That's
and then send it to us. That would be awesome.
Yep, that's the idea.
Okay, because I was writing like crazy last week trying to write them all down.
No, I agree. A spreadsheet's going to be better.
And since I wasn't here, my request and recommendation was going to be that for next week on the agenda item that we really kind of review those numbers and actually come up with whatever, you know, whatever not projects we think we're going to be able to afford to move forward with next year. And I didn't get to hear, and there wasn't anything in writing, so I didn't get to kind of follow up on what those numbers were, so I'd like to see that.
Okay.
And I know that there's the facilities reports items that have been highlighted, but I'm kind of curious about, like I said, accessibility, security, privacy, some of those other type of things. And when do we start talking about some of those items and what those costs are? So, and the salt shed. So those are some of my concerns.
I have some more questions on Article 3.
All right, so special projects we'll put off and come up with that number next week. So I just want to wrap that piece up, and then we'll go back. All right, Gloria, go ahead.
Salary treasurer, which is, well, line 22, but it's the second line in.
Yep.
She requested 12,096, and it says 12,100. Is that with the COLA, the 12,171?
Yes.
Okay. I'd still like at some point to talk about town clerk salary. I know, Hilma, you don't want to lower it, but it's pretty high. And I think it could be lower. Sawyer Hall maintenance and utilities is the same. Okay. I'm trying to find these. Animal control officer stipend, we're going to change that to assessment on line 74.
Oh,
gosh. And you double check with Franklin County Solid Waste. They didn't change their assessment at all this year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, great. All these people who haven't changed their assessment. On the library people, 128, 129, 130, those numbers need to be taken out because they're counted twice. If you look at salary library director, it's under there for FY22, and so is assistant, and so is substitute, but they're also part of the 35,373.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
It sort of skews the total.
I think the total is still the top.
The total should be $35,884.59, which is what those three add up to.
Yep.
So that, you know, that's a good saving.
You're right. They should be pulled out.
I don't think they're counted. I think it was just a pullover.
Correct. They're not counted in the bottom. If you go to the bottom total and you pull up what lines are actually included in that cell, I don't think those are included.
No.
I thought that, but I don't think they are.
Well, actually, if you look at subtotal culture and recreation, last year it was $47,966.69. This year it's $84,806.83.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are included.
Yep.
And I'll make that go down to $49,433.22, which is a chunk of change.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious about the tech school operating expense, operating assessment. It's different on here than it is in the warrant.
Oh, that's because I didn't update the warrant amount.
Okay. And I believe that's all I have tonight.
Brian, do you have other line items?
No,
to discuss?
I don't.
Anybody from Finance Committee, any other line items?
Let's see. I don't have any other line items, no.
Anybody else?
I would also, though, I don't have any more line items, but, and I won't say this again next week because I've said it for the last 2 weeks. I'm finding that it's kind of difficult to look at this the way it's set up. I know we've talked about this, but I'm just thinking instead of making town meetings shorter, it's going to make it longer because people aren't going to understand it. Like some of the totals in the right-hand column do not add up to what's in the left-hand column. I mean, some totals in the left-hand column don't add up because there's actually an increase this year and it doesn't show percentage of increase or dollar amounts of increase. And I'm thinking that's going to be a problem.
On the most recent thing that came out today, it does. Like line 18, which is mine, assessor's expense, that line shows 2,500. You bump to worksheet 22, it shows 15,900, showing that those did not move over. And next to that, it says a $2,400 increase for property card conversion.
It does, which is much better than it, much clearer. I just wanted to voice my concern. I know it's not going to really make any difference, but I'm concerned that this is going to cause consternation and people are going to be confused and they're going to be thinking that it's not transparent and the select board is trying to hide figures, bury them somewhere.
But there's nothing really being hidden.
We all know that.
Okay, then that's what we convey to everybody else.
All right, I just need to say it one more time, and I won't bring it up again.
I think that what's going to be really important is how we, and this was one of the items I had on my list to talk to before we say goodbye, is how for us to be thinking about how we present this at ATM. And, you know, I'm happy to introduce this and to give the explanation and to the reasons why when we're at ATM. I just think we need to be very clear as to what all of those pieces are. And so I guess I will try, I'll take a stab at coming up with what that wordage looks like and have it, send it out for commentary maybe at next meeting. But I think that that's going to be the important piece, and I'm sure there's going to be questions and confusion. And I think as clear as we can be, we have to start someplace if this is our intent. I think we've agreed that this is what we want to happen, and we just need to make that first step, I guess.
It would be helpful for some people probably if the if you get to a certain line when it starts at like line 15, the assessor's stipends, either the chair of the assessors or the department head stands up and is there for any kind of questions and or the